This is the RDU on Stage podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Luca Molinari. Hi everyone, I'm Lauren Van Hamert, and on this episode, we Americans are taking a trip across the pond to speak with Luca Molinari, an arts journalist and blogger based in London. Molinari started his website, London Theatre Reviews, in 2018 with the idea of publishing reviews, news, and interviews. If that sounds familiar to some of you, that might be because my platform, RDU on Stage, is quite similar. We also publish reviews, interviews, and produce this podcast in the United States to connect theater makers with theater lovers and audiences through conversation. So as many of you already know, last March, Broadway theaters shut down due to the spread of COVID-19. This summer, the Broadway League announced that Broadway theaters would remain dark through at least January 3rd, 2021, though many insiders, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, say it's likely the shutdown will extend longer through mid to late 2021. So what does this pandemic mean for West End theaters? Molinari says there's been a lot of confusion over reopening theaters in London and that COVID has caused a cultural catastrophe in the United Kingdom. And that is where our conversation begins.
There was a report that we published. It was called The Projected Economic Impact of COVID-19 on the UK Creative Industries. It was not good at all, and they basically projected drop of revenue of 74 billion just, and we're just talking about the UK's creative industries for 2020. So it means that we are losing 14 billion a week, and this report concluded that the sector theaters are heading for a cultural catastrophe because, you know, thousands of businesses, creative businesses, are set to close their doors, and hundreds of thousands of jobs will be lost, and they already are lost, and billions will be lost to the economy, because theaters is so important for our economy, theaters, but all the creative industry. So the report was saying that the repercussions would be devastating and irreversible for the whole country. And, you know, I know we have all different opinions about theaters and arts. You can be more interested, I can be less, but it's a business, and it's jobs, it's money. It's not just about a show or music or acting. It's also business, and if we lose this business, it's a big problem for the whole country. The report was saying also that about more than 400,000 jobs would be made redundant by the end of the year, and it's terrible. Last Saturday, we were there to document the protest of the workers, the staff of the National Theatre. They protested for the cuts, because I think around 400 jobs have already been cut. I mean, we stand by them, but it's a really difficult situation. So I guess not much different from yours.
Absolutely. You mentioned the National Theatre, which is interesting to me, because I think one of the things that has given some of the theater lovers life here in the United States during this pandemic is the fact that they can stream productions from theaters like the National Theater and experience productions that maybe they wouldn't have the opportunity to see otherwise. So do you think that these virtual productions and streams hurt theater long term? Do you think that people are going to get spoiled being able to stream theater right into their homes?
We tweeted something about it like 3 weeks ago, and people started to retweet this because we said we saw a lot of online theater during the lockdown, and that's great, but this has to stop because we need to pay the people who work to give us a show. We can't keep watching theater for free. It's as I said, it's also a job. It's also people have to make money and live with what they do. So if we just keep watching shows online for free or a few pounds or dollars, it doesn't work. This is not the way it works. And also, if you want to know what I think, it's also, I don't know about online theater, because it's obviously popular, because you can see, especially in the lockdown where we were all stuck at home and bored sometimes, and we could see shows online, and this was good. There was a lot of interest around this online theater because, as you said, National Theater was streaming every Friday a new show from their past productions, and then other theaters like Hampstead Theater and other theaters started to do the same. And also there was Andrew Lloyd Webber, who is so famous, as you know, and he created this YouTube channel, which is called The Show Must Go On, and he started to stream some musicals from Joseph to Cats to The Phantom and Love Never Dies, and people were so happy about that. I remember when we posted on the social media, and especially on Facebook, we posted the news about The Phantom of the Opera will be streamed online this weekend on YouTube on the channel The Show Must Go On. There's just on Facebook, this post reached 2.5 million people around the world, because you know, everyone was sharing and you know, very happy to be able to see such a popular because Phantom is very popular. But I don't know, my feeling, I try to watch some shows online, but I don't know, it's like eating a pizza with pineapple. It doesn't seem right to me. It's just something else. It's something different. It doesn't give you the emotions at all that a live experience can give you. Now, I know there are a lot of people who are saying, well, it's time for theaters to reinvent themselves, to find a new creative ways of thinking, of doing things. But I don't quite agree with that, because theater has been like this for hundreds, thousands of years. So it's not just because it has always been like this. It has to be like this forever. But the magic of live theater is you can't replace it with a computer or a TV screen. It's like, it's not just the same.
I totally agree. I certainly appreciate the creativity and appreciate the fact that people are still trying to make theater even amidst a pandemic. But these virtual experiences for me just don't give me the same feeling or emotion that I get in a live production.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you, so our blog is also quite popular in Asia, and they were really thankful and happy that they were able to see these shows. But and so that's something else, because of course if you can't see the Phantom because you are in a country where that there is no theater or there are no such shows, that's something. I also understand that some of them were done also to raise money for charities and these charities to help actors and creatives who suddenly were out of their jobs. So that's also something to consider, that many people were watching a show and maybe some of them were donating £5, £10, and this is something good for sure.
I know Andrew Lloyd Webber hosted a test event at the Palladium in London recently. How did that event go over with audiences, and what were some of the precautions that were taken there?
To be honest, why do you have to put on a show like this, open a theater like the Palladium, which is one of the biggest in London, and put Beverly Knight on a stage? To show what? Because he already said, like all the other theater people, producers, and everyone, they said social distancing is not a viable option for theaters, right? Because theaters need to sell almost all their seats, at least 70%. So social distancing means that I'm here, and then there are three seats empty and there's someone else. It's not possible because we lose money. Therefore, we can't open theaters. So that was something that we already knew. So I don't understand why to organize this trial just to show probably that it's not possible. But anyway, basically, we were going inside the theater with masks. And there were a lot of empty seats, and that was it. So basically, we were keeping the social distancing from outside the theater, so queuing, going inside, and then sitting. So you were not close to anyone else. But the problem is that when Andrew Lloyd Webber came before the show, before the concert of Beverly McKnight, he just came and he saw the audience, so this huge Palladium basically empty. He was like, oh, this is a very sad sight, he said. It's kind of desperate because the Palladium needs to be filled. We can't see an empty Palladium. And so he was right. The atmosphere was more the atmosphere of, I wouldn't say a funeral, but it was not a great thing to see and to experience. Of course, Beverly was great. And I saw her speaking after the event. She said, well, you know, me, the band, we were all shocked when we came on stage to see, you know, a few people and all of them with this mask. So we couldn't even see if they were enjoying or smiling or you know the show, because artists, they can see the audience. So we gave our best, and they did. I mean, she was amazing. She is amazing. She's one probably of the best voices in London, of the UK. It's just that it was sad. It was very sad. And again, I don't know what was the purpose. We asked that on the blog. We said, okay, we went there. This is our experience. We also posted some pictures and videos because people were very curious about it. But I don't know why it happened. But definitely, it's not a way that can happen again for shows.
So the question is, I feel like theater is woven much more into the culture of the UK than it is here in the United States. There have been many surveys here in the United States that have said that audiences may not feel comfortable returning to the theater for quite a long time after theaters do reopen. Do you think there in the West End, audiences will feel more comfortable returning to the theater when the doors do reopen?
That's a good question. I think when we post something about opening theaters, because we are challenging sometimes when we post something the government, because there has been a lot of confusion. We can talk about this maybe, but the people are divided. There are many people who say, "Well, I would go even today if theater reopened," but there are, I would say, probably the same 50-50, I would say, people who say I wouldn't go until I feel safe to do so, which is not going to happen for a long time, and God knows when we will be safe, because you know we don't know anything about vaccination, we don't know anything about herd immunity, so I don't know when this will happen. So I guess but it's true what you say, that here theater is really in our culture, is in our bloods, and people there's a lot of people really desperate to go back, but I don't know when this will happen. It's quite, there's something else I haven't understood, because Broadway, for example, they said we are closed until the 3rd of January, and here there's no indications at all. So I don't know why here we can say, okay, theater, the West End will be closed until January, like on Broadway. Also because this causes other uncertainty, and I don't know if you heard about it, but basically a couple of weeks ago, the What's on Stage, they posted the news that Dear Evan Hansen was canceled until the 3rd of January. And we posted the news as well, and the cast didn't know about that, the cast of the show. So they got the news from the web, from internet. And even worse, the day after, we posted the news, the same news about the Book of Mormon, because the theater sent to all the customers the email about the show canceled until the 3rd of January. So it was not an official press release, but we became aware of that the show was canceled officially by the production. So we posted the news, and this was massive, because again, Book is another big show with a lot of cast, a lot of people involved. They didn't know about the cancellation, and to know this from the press, it's quite distressing. It's a distressing time, so we don't need to add more stress. We need to make things a little bit smoother and easier. So if you say, okay, theaters are closed until the 3rd of January, we all know. But if you don't say that, and you know, you get this news from a website or a blog, and it's not right. So yeah, this is what happened. A lot of confusion and a lot of uncertainty.
So what kind of protections are there in the UK for theater workers and artists there? I know here there is a push and a desperate need to extend pandemic unemployment assistance, or PUA. So what kind of precautions or public assistance programs do you have there?
Yeah, I think the scheme is, I'm not very expert in economy, but I think the scheme is until October, and they, like probably there, they are trying to call for an extension of the scheme, where basically the government still pay the salary, at least 80% of the salary of people who are unemployed because of COVID. So I think this is the protection, and I think it's until October. And also there has been this 1.5 27 billion of pounds that the government is giving to theaters to, you know, to let them survive until they will open again, because a theater can't stay closed, because how a theater is supposed to make money if it's closed? So they need money, they have running costs, and so this 1.57, it was a very good news. Everyone was happy and welcomed the news, but it will be enough, because yeah, it's a lot, but we have a lot of theaters. I think just in London there are more than 200 theaters, but in the whole UK much more. So probably this money won't be enough, especially if theaters can't open, because if they can't open, they can't make money. So it's really difficult. Yesterday there was Kudos. Kudos is basically a very important organization, production of panto. So pantomimes are a Christmas tradition. They have been performed for hundreds of years across the UK, and they bring millions of pounds. It's like a Christmas thing. So the families go there and enjoy, you know, this kind of comedy shows, and they really bring a lot of money, because a lot of people go to see pantos, even if they are not regular theater goers, just for the pantos. But Kudos, which is the world's biggest pantomime producer, they released this statement saying that the government have not provided a guidance about opening theaters, so they were left with no choice but to begin consultation process about canceling the shows, because they need to know now, and when I say now means now, if they can if pantos are happening or not. If they are happening, they need this month to prepare everything, but we won't know that, because the government said that they will give further guidance about opening theaters without social distancing. They will give this guidance in November at earliest. So until November, basically, we won't know anything. Even if in November they said, yes, you can do theater shows indoor, they won't be able to put on a show with 1 month or a few weeks notice. So they will cancel all the season of the pantomime for this year, which is very sad and very dangerous for theaters, because they will lose a lot of money. I guess we are also paying the price of the confusion from the government. I mean, I don't want to go into politics, but the COVID crisis has not been handled in the best way possible. As you probably have read in the news, we have a lot of people who have died because of COVID, probably the highest number in Europe. And also the lockdown was declared quite late. And even during the lockdown, there were confusing and contradictory advice given by the government. So if you ask to 10 different people, what are the rules? What are the guidelines for who? Where do you wear a mask? How far do you have to be? They don't know. Everyone would say 1 meter, 2 meter. Yes, in the shops, nobody knows, because every day they are changing, and you know, people don't trust this government much. Well, there was already not much confidence and trust in this government after Brexit, but now even less. I don't know if you read the news, but there was this scandal about over Dominic Cummings. Dominic Cummings is the special advisor of the government. So basically, he's a very, very, very important person in the government. He is a chief advisor for Boris Johnson. And well, you know what he did? He basically, during the lockdown, at the end of March, so it was really the most difficult time of the lockdown, he was tested positive for COVID. And he got his car from London. He drove to his parents' farm in Durham, which is north of England, and spent some time with his family, his wife, and I think they did also a journey to a castle, something like this, and during the lockdown and being positive to COVID. So when the press released this news, there was a huge scandal, and he had to apologize, but he didn't really apologize, to be honest. They never do, right, politicians? But anyway, but what I want to say is that this kind of broke down the sense of national unity that we had, and the trust on this government, because if people who make the rules are the same people who break the rule because they feel they can break the rule because they are, you know, in a different level, people don't trust them anymore. Let's be honest, there's no social distancing in cities like London because there are 10 million people. How can you social distancing on a tube, on a bus, on a train? We are like packed like sardines, but theaters are closed, and they will be closed God knows when, because we will have the next guidance in November. And so it's very confusing, and the government doesn't help to, you know, to make this confusion less. They decided on the 17th of July that indoor performances could start on the 1st of August with social distancing. Fine. Then, 2 days before the 1st of August, they said no. Indoor performances cannot start yet. We will review the guideline in 2 weeks, meaning that some places, they already organized some shows, some gigs, and things like this. They had to cancel everything, and you know, they said, okay, you know what, we are not going to organize anything. And then if you just have two days before, if you say yes and then 2 days before you say no, there's no point for us to put the effort to organize something. So a lot of confusion and difficulties.
It's not much better here, to be honest with you. There is a lot of confusion and conflicting information here. But like you said, the guidance for New York, which I think is setting the standard for so many places around the United States, is that at least until January 3rd, 2021, and honestly, what I'm hearing is that it could be longer, maybe into 2022.
Yeah, 2022 is a long way for theaters. I mean, it's like 2 years. The article about that Cameron McIntosh wrote, he was saying that he hopes to bring back his shows for Easter 2021, but it could be after. But this is his view, his position. There's no official position from, you know, SALT, which is the Society of London Theatres, or someone else. It's just his view, his position. But yeah, we all know that it won't happen definitely until 2021, and maybe in the middle, or who knows. We need to see, because nobody knows about anything about this virus. We don't know what is going to happen after the summer. There's going to be a second wave. Let's think, if there's going to be a second wave, everything will be even more complicated. So we just have to go step by step, I guess.
I do want to ask you, in the middle of all of this COVID, We also had the murder of George Floyd, which sparked protests and truly an uprising in the United States within the theater community. Can you talk about what the response has been there?
Yes. Well, of course, there were a lot of protests here as well. London has a big heart, and they wanted to support this Black Lives Matter, and also because it's a thing. I mean, racism is everywhere, but I traveled a lot to the States, and I don't know, my feeling, my view is that here the situation is, I wouldn't say much better, but it's definitely better. So I think America is more racist than the UK, and I'm not afraid to say that. It's something that I experienced and I saw. I don't know what you think about it.
I definitely agree. Especially with the kind of productions you put on your stages. When you look at a show like Anne Juliet, for example, it just seems like the kinds of productions that you put on stage there are just more inclusive.
Yeah, I think so. And Juliet is amazing. And Miriam, which is the actress that who plays Juliet, because as you know, it is a story reinvented of Romeo and Juliet. What happens if Juliet didn't die? She survives, and she wants to get a new life, and this new life is in Paris. So she goes to Paris with her friends, and this is the start of the story, which is brilliant. It's so original, the idea about, okay, let's think about what if you survive to the death of your lover, and you want to live a new page of your life. So it's brilliant, and the cast is so diverse, and it's just a great experience. We gave 5 stars because it's such a show that you just go in and sing, and you are happy, and you live with this big smile. And you can go back. You can't wait to go back because it's such a good feeling. But yeah, I agree. I think there's much more inclusivity here. There was a concert that has been organized in response of this Black Lives Matter. It was organized at the Cadogan Hall and with all Black artists. And it was really good, really good. Very powerful with messages, poems, and it was, and songs, of course. It was really beautiful. So let's see. I think London is quite an open city, and that's why I love London, because of the diversity and the acceptance of the diversity. Of course, it's not the perfect city, and no city is perfect, because racism is an issue that has always been there for hundreds of years, and it's not going to go just because there is a Black Lives Matter, unfortunately, but at least people raise their voices, and hopefully things will change and be more inclusive also in America.
Live performances at the National Theatre are scheduled to resume later this month. A handful of other productions, including Six, The Play That Goes Wrong, and Everybody's Talking About Jamie, are scheduled to reopen in November. Of course, Molinari's website, London Theatre Reviews, has all of the latest news. I'll put a link in the episode notes. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to this podcast. Follow us on social media at RDU On Stage, or visit us online at www.rduonstage.com. Until next time, I'll see you at the theater.